Ever think about where the ice in your cocktail comes from? Like, really?
Not usually, no.
Well, today we're diving into a company taking that luxury ice thing to a whole other level, sourcing it straight from Antarctica.
From Antarctica.
Yeah, the Thwaites Glacier, to be exact.
Wow.
So we're going to unpack this report called Harvesting Purity and Profit, see how they actually do it, and maybe uncover a few surprising things about their whole sustainable luxury image.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case, isn't it? This super remote, untouched environment being used for such a specific market.
Definitely raises some questions, like what's the real cost of all that?
Exactly. So the Thwaites Glacier, it's one of the most remote places on Earth. How do they even extract water from there?
They got these mobile floating units, pretty impressive tech.
Floating units.
Yeah, they anchor right onto the glacier, then drill down into rivers, like under the ice to get the water.
Wow. Must be some seriously tough machines to handle all that ice shifting around.
That's what the report said, super resilient.
But all that engineering in that environment, I mean, it must take a ton of energy. It doesn't seem very sustainable.
Well, that's where things get a little tricky. Right now, they're relying on diesel generators.
Diesel, so not exactly eco-friendly.
Not really. They say they're working on hydro turbine generators powered by the glacier itself, but.
But for now, it's diesel. Okay, so they take this pristine water from the end of the earth. Then to ship it, they have to refreeze it.
You got it.
But doesn't that seem, I don't know, kind of counterproductive if they're going for minimal environmental impact?
Yeah, the report emphasizes how energy intensive that refreezing process is. And sure, they invest in carbon credits to offset it, but.
But those credits are often criticized, right? Like companies just paying to avoid actually changing their operations.
Exactly.
So I'm sensing a bit of a disconnect between their marketing and reality already. But before we go there, I'm curious about the logistics. Antarctica to, say, some fancy bar in Dubai. How does that even work?
They've got their own fleet of ships, the SS Thwaites, custom built for transporting all that frozen glacier water.
Figured they'd go for a greener shipping method with all the sustainable luxury talk.
Well, the report says they prioritize speed. Like getting it there fast is key for that luxury market.
Makes sense, but at what cost, right?
Yeah, those high-speed engines mean more emissions.
So, speed over sustainability seems to be a theme here, but let's get to the product itself. These bespoke ice cubes, what makes them so special?
It's all about the freezing process. They have this whole system on site, proprietary filtration, then something called cryogenic freezing.
Cryogenic freezing.
Makes the ice perfectly clear and slow melting. Apparently, that's a big deal for high-end cocktails.
Huh. So they've built high-tech freezing chambers on a glacier. That's commitment. And to keep that exclusive fresh image, they must have a pretty wild distribution system.
Freshness is huge for them. Got to maintain that.
Yeah.
Daily drone delivery direct to customers.
Wait, drones from Antarctica every day? The logistics, the environmental impact, how do they justify all that?
It's all about those high margins, the exclusivity, the whole untouched purity thing. It lets them charge a premium.
So they're going to extremes for a very specific customer. Someone will pay top dollar for the story, the exclusivity, and the whole sustainable aspect.
Yeah.
But how much of that is real and how much is marketing?
And that leads us right into greenwashing, which is becoming pretty common in the luxury world.
Which is definitely a conversation worth having. But before we unpack all that, how profitable is this whole Antarctic ice business? So we were talking about this whole story they're selling, the
Wait.
luxury, the untouched environment, all that. But how profitable is this whole thing, really?
Well, let's just say their financials are as impressive as their ice extraction tech.
Really?
Yeah, that bespoke ice cube service. 75% gross margin projected.
75%. So, like every dollar they make, a 75 cents is profit.
Pretty much shows how much people are willing to pay for stuff that, matches their values, even if those values are aspirational.
Right, aspirational. Like they want that connection to nature, but it comes with a hefty price tag and probably a hefty environmental cost too.
Exactly. And it's not just a small market either. They're expecting big growth, want to expand, tap into that whole global demand for luxury.
So they're taking water from this fragile place and turning it into big profits. Seems kind of conflicting.
It does raise questions about the cost of this kind of luxury. Are we just shifting the environmental burden somewhere else, all for a fancy drink?
And do people even realize that? Do they know what's really going on behind that pristine image?
That's where the greenwashing comes in. It's getting harder and harder to tell what's real sustainability and what's just good marketing.
Right, like those carbon offsets we talked about. Can you explain that a bit more? How does that even work and why is it so controversial?
So the idea is companies can make up for their emissions by investing in projects that reduce greenhouse gases somewhere else, like planting trees or funding renewable energy.
So they're not actually reducing their own impact, they're just paying someone else to do it.
Basically, yeah. And there are worries about whether those projects are even effective or accountable.
Sounds like a pretty convenient way to seem sustainable without really changing anything.
The report kind of points that out too. Like, for this company, sustainability is more of a branding thing, not a core value. Profits and growth seem to come first.
It's interesting. Their marketing is full of words like natural, pristine, responsible. But when you look at what they're actually doing,
it's classic greenwashing. Using fancy words and images to make people think they're eco-friendly, even if they're not.
So they're selling a story, a carefully crafted image, to make people feel good about spending a lot of money.
Right. They're playing on that desire for a guilt-free luxury experience. Like, you can have it all, the indulgence, the exclusivity, and a clear conscience.
But that clear conscience might be based on a lie, right? They're using this idea of pure, untouched nature to make a profit while downplaying the real environmental cost.
It definitely makes you think about who's responsible here. The companies. The consumers. Should companies be more honest about their practices? Should consumers demand more accountability?
Tough questions, no easy answers. But this deep dive has definitely made me think about the ethical side of luxury and sustainability, things that often get ignored when something seems shiny and new.
It's all about thinking critically, being an informed consumer, and maybe being a little skeptical. We shouldn't just believe everything we see and hear.
So how can we be better consumers? How do we make choices that match our values?
There are groups out there that expose greenwashing, push for better labeling. That's a good place to start.
So do your research, dig a little deeper, and don't be afraid to question what you're buying and who you're supporting.
Absolutely. And remember, real sustainability isn't just about words. It's about what companies actually do, how accountable they are, and if they're really committed to reducing their impact.
This has been fascinating, kind of unsettling too, to learn about this whole Antarctic ice thing and how complicated sustainability can be. The choices we make as consumers have consequences, and we need to be aware of that.
It's about being mindful of the stories we're being sold and making choices that match our values and help create a better future.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a bit. What does this whole case tell us about the bigger trends in consumerism and this growing demand for sustainable luxury? So we've been looking at this Antarctic ice operation, learned about greenwashing, this whole sustainable luxury thing. But what does it all mean for us, the people buying stuff?
This case is kind of like a mini version of what's happening with consumerism in general. People want things that match their values, especially when it comes to the environment.
So we want to enjoy luxury but not feel bad about it. Is that what's driving the sustainable luxury trend?
Exactly. Consumers are getting smarter. They want brands that are both indulgent and de-ethical, which puts companies in a tough spot. How do you have luxury, which is exclusive, and sustainability, which shouldn't be?
Right, because real sustainability is about using less, having things last, not always needing the newest thing. Not very luxury, is it?
That's the challenge, yeah. Luxury is all about excess, being exclusive, always wanting more. To make that truly sustainable, you need to change how things are made and be what people expect.
It seems like this company with their Glacier Ice Cubes is trying to do both. Appealing to people who want luxury and care about the environment. But like we said, there are questions about how honest they're being.
It shows how tricky greenwashing can be and how we need more accountability. Consumers got to be critical, not just believe everything they're told. And companies need to be held responsible for what they claim to be doing.
So what can we do? How do we figure out what's real and what's not in this whole consumerism mess?
Awareness is key. We got to be informed, know about greenwashing, and look for brands that actually walk the walk, not just talk about sustainability.
And maybe we need to rethink what luxury even means. Can it be about things lasting, low impact, ethical sourcing? Or will it always be about exclusivity and having more than everyone else?
That's a question for all of us, consumers and companies. We got to shift our thinking, challenge the old ideas of luxury, and focus on long-term good instead of just short-term indulgence.
This deep dive has definitely changed how I think about luxury and sustainability. Can't just take brands at their word anymore. It's on us to do our research, ask the hard questions, and demand they be upfront with us.
Exactly. And in the end, it's about matching our choices to our values. If we really care about sustainability, we need to support companies that are actually doing something about it.
This has been a fascinating conversation. Eye-opening, even a bit unsettling. Hopefully it's got you thinking too. Next time you see something that claims to be both luxurious and sustainable, take a second. Do your research. Ask yourself if the story matches up with reality.
Remember, real luxury doesn't hurt the planet. It's about making choices that reflect our values and help build a better future.
Well said. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Antarctic ice harvesting and the whole world of sustainable luxury.
It was my pleasure.
And to you listening, remember, our choices as consumers matter. We can demand better, support ethical companies, and push for a more sustainable future. Stay curious, stay informed, and choose wisely.